Our reading for today was written by Mark DeSaulnier, who I believe is the director of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. He writes, "We stand strong in the name of inclusion, equality, and love. We stand tall with a commitment to the arts. We stand proud to be part of this great nation. No matter your race, faith, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, or political affiliation, you have a place with us. This is not about good and bad, right and wrong. We are talking about the human spirit. So to those who may want to suppress the human spirit, be it media, intolerant groups, or the highest offices in the land, we say no. Because without the human spirit, what is left? So with every word of racism, we send love. With every word of fear, we send power. With every word of denigration, we send acceptance. And if those words get louder, we will sing louder. Make no mistake, our voices will be heard and will resonate across this great nation." There ends our reading. When I was in seminary, the very first thing I learned about pastoral care is that in order for people to process their questions, their fears, and hurts, they need to feel seen and heard. And the cornerstone of helping people feel seen and heard is offering them something called non-anxious presence. When I'm offering non-anxious presence to someone, my job in that moment is to keep my own emotions, my own opinions, my own stuff to myself. This gives the other person a non-charged environment to share however it is they are feeling and keeps things about them. Non-anxious presence often helps people come to understand their feelings or their circumstances that led to those feelings as part of normal life. But as I have grown in ministry, I have come to understand that non-anxious presence is one among many tools for ministry, and it has its limits. I cannot, with any integrity, stand in this pulpit today and not acknowledge my anxiety, my grief, my fear about the state of this country. I want to be clear. I am not grieving that one candidate from a particular political party got elected and not another. I'm grieving because Tuesday's election seems to have given permission for sexist, ableist, racist, homophobic, transphobic, and xenophobic behavior that has always been there, but which we as a society have come over the course of centuries of progress to agree was unacceptable. In many ways, it feels like all of the blood, sweat, and tears invested over the last several generations to create a country where people are judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, their gender, whom they love, how they worship, or the balance of their bank accounts is being undone. And this makes me afraid and oh so angry. I'm angry. Because I am a mama bear, and many of the people I love and care about now feel much less safe than they did a week ago. Since Tuesday's election, many people have told me that my anxiety, my fear, my grief is misplaced, that we're safe here in California, that things are going to be fine. But things don't seem like they are going to be fine to me at all. Just yesterday, the KKK held a rally in Anaheim that left 3 people stabbed. All over the country, there are reports of racist and anti-Semitic symbols and phrases being spray-painted on public and private property, leaflets threatening people of color being left on car windshields, children taunting their Muslim classmates. I cannot, in good conscience, respond to these events with non-anxious presence. That would normalize these events. And if there is anything I want to communicate from today onward, it is that this is not normal. This can never become our new normal as a society. This is not the kind of nation I want my children or anyone's children to grow up in or inherit. Laura Patterson, a United Methodist pastor in Missouri, wrote just 2 days ago about pastoral anxiety rather than non-anxious presence as a form of witness. This is what she writes. My witness and care must be to weep and rage alongside those for whom the denial of their identity and humanity and safety has been used to rally political support. As a woman, I can include myself. My pastoral anxiety creates a space where we prevent normalization of what is in conflict with our belief in a loving God and a compassionate society. Translate as you wish. It allows those who are grieving and fearful to affirm the value of their lives in the midst of a strong message to the contrary, without the implication that we have to start getting used to the way things are now. It denies the dismissal of outrage, pain, and very real current threats, which stems from the call to unite, or let's just see what happens. May we never normalize the hateful behavior that Tuesday's election has unleashed. May we, as individuals and families, as a congregation and in our wider communities, use our very rightful and righteous grief and fear, outrage and anger to resist the evils of white supremacy, homophobia, transphobia, sexism, and xenophobia. The world of truth and justice, the beloved community on earth as it is in heaven, depends on it.
And so I have to follow that. We're picking up the pieces, folks, because that's the only way I can make sense of this. Not that things were perfect a week ago, far from it, and not, as I've said before, that the election of any candidate would be the fulfillment of all our hopes and usher in a new glorious golden age. Not that I at least expected beloved community to become instantly manifest in a shining moment. Because these things take time. But it seems a much farther off dream than it did a few days ago. My friends and family, especially those of marginalized identities, are worried and scared, fearful, and I'm worried for them. So with Secretary Clinton, with President Obama, I know that we have no real alternative, see what Donald Trump will do as president, but I'm not hopeful. I'm scared too. That a man who says and does such terrible things will soon be leader of our country, how could that not scare any of us? So this week, many of us have been sitting with that, with grief and fear and shock and sadness, concern. And it is right to be with those feelings and take care of ourselves, to be together. And soon, perhaps today for some, perhaps later, it will be time for what's next. How shall we respond? This is a question we must wrestle with in this time, and then go out and do the responding. I have some thoughts about what we must do going forward. They're hardly complete. I know that we must continue to engage in the political process because we cannot abandon it. We have to engage deeper with all the communities in which we live. Because as Kristen lifted up, it's tempting to think that in this part of the world, we're in a liberal or progressive or safe bubble, but we know that's not true. And we must continue and deepen and grow our work in the larger community. Today, for instance, we give thousands of pounds of food to the Richmond Emergency Food Pantry. And as huge and wonderful and meaningful an effort as that is, it must be only a start. We have to all recommit ourselves to work in the larger community and work that crosses boundaries and makes new connections and helps heal our world. And key to that, I want to make sure I say this, key to that is our own inner work too, both for each of us and for this community. We must deepen and grow our own spirits. So later this year, it's in process right now, but we hope as a congregation to begin offering new opportunities for learning and engaging and deepening our spirits and for learning and practicing the tools of cross-cultural engagement. Already we have many opportunities for some of this, from worship to our personal theology series to Chalice Circles, which is our small group ministry program, our family ministry. I encourage you to check out all of these if you haven't already. But in the next year, we plan also to revamp our process for becoming a member here. And then after becoming a member, for deepening our engagement with theology and community for those who are already members. Spiritual growth is crucial not just to the mission of this church, but to the work of creating the world we dream of. And also, friends, I have to say this. We have to stop what our colleague Nancy McDonald Ladd calls the fake fights, because it's clear we have no time for them. Will we applaud in worship or won't we? Can we say God or can't we, and how many times? Do we like this logo or that logo better? Should we tinker with the wording on that document one more time? Maybe you have your own. Because I hope it's clear that these are distractions. They're not the real work. And the past week has made it more clear than ever to me that we no longer have time or energy for these things that take our energy and shove it down rabbit holes. Not when so much is at stake. And especially not when so much is at stake for those who lack the privilege to protect themselves. Because I believe in this community, and I believe in each of us. I believe in you. Kristen and I came here, crossed the country to a place that we were not familiar at all with, came here excited. And even in this week, we're more excited today than we were, even as grief and rage and shock weigh us down. Because never, ever have Kristen and I felt more supported in the work we do than these past 2 weeks. As Kristen represented us at Standing Rock in North Dakota, and then but then too, as we've gathered this week together in support, and as today we collect food to support our community members in crisis, the ministry that we came here to do and the ministry that all of us will do together, because they are one and the same, is more needed now than it's ever been. And I think we're on the right track, but the work is just beginning. In the words we heard earlier, the words of the Unitarian Universalist musician and teacher Issei Barnwell, if we want hope to survive in this world today, then every day we've got to pray on and march on and work on and teach on and sing on and live on and love on. And this is our calling. So every day, let's love on and live on and work on. And so may it be.